GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for bringing every one of us to your presence today. And Lord, I ask that you bless everyone and let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic remains forging ahead. Forging ahead. That's just talking about moving forward, having progress, doing the things we couldn't do before, despite and in spite of obstacles. Forging ahead. Most Christians are stagnated or they're not having the kind of progress they want to have. And most times it's because they don't know how to. The Bible says the endeavor of everyone frustrates them because they don't know how to go into the city. So that's the problem most times, because people don't know exactly what it is to do to move from where they are to where they're going. And the Bible has not put us in a blind spot, but the Bible has given us very clear strategies, very clear instructions, very clear principles for us to move forward in life. And that's exactly what we're going to be sharing today in this episode. And I pray that God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by referring to what Martin Luther said, that in life, if you are not flying, make sure you are running. And if you are not running, make sure you are walking. If you are not walking, make sure you are crawling. But by all means, make sure you are making progress. And I'm going to say that again. If you are not flying, make sure you are running. If you are not running, make sure you are walking. If you are not walking, make sure you are crawling. But by all means, make sure you are making progress. We must look back at the beginning of this year and try to figure out, what did I plan to do when I started this year? What are the steps I plan to take? What are the things I wanted to do when I started this year? And where exactly am I right now? And I think that's something we need to do at all times. At the beginning of each month, we need to do that. To take stock. To say, have I made progress? Am I just revolving around the same place? And the main scripture we are looking at today is the scripture where God told Moses that, hey, move forward. You have dwelt on this mountain too long. Move forward. And God is telling you and I today to move forward. You have dwelt too much on this mountain. You have dwelt too much on this mountain, procrastinating, planning, thinking, wishing. If you are not running, you should at least be walking. If you are not walking, you should at least be crawling. You should be able to see some level of progress at every point in life. God wants you to have progress. God wants me to have progress. Now, there was a story that our father, Bishop David Apo, told us some times ago. And he mentioned the fact that when the church was crawling, he looked at the number they had within a period of time. And he said, if you go at this pace, by the time it's 100, he said the church will be a particular number. And he said, no, there must be a way out. And he started looking for solutions. So God also wants you to come and grab the solution, because he already has it. He said, the secret things belong to him, belong to God. But the revealed things belong to you and your children, which means the revealed things belong to us if we dare or care to find them out. So our job this month, this is the ninth month, which is synonymous with the month of delivery. Our job this month is to, by all means, push. You know, from the beginning of the year, maybe what you've been doing is conceiving your dreams, trying, planning, reading, studying, doing whatever it is you need to do, praying, doing all those things. But this is the month of delivery. We need to push, which means whatever effort you have given before, if it has not produced the kind of result you and I want to have, we need to push for that result. We need to push for that delivery this month. You and I need to look at ourselves and say, I must have my result this month. I cannot procrastinate anymore. It must come right now. If you have to fast, fast. If you have to pray, pray. If you have to get counseling, get counseling. If you have to read books, read books. But by all means, we must make very good progress this month. And I pray for everyone that we are going to make that progress in Jesus' name. So what are the steps we can take to actually forge ahead this year? We are already in the Ember month. September is here. So what are the steps we can still take to forge ahead this year? And number one, the first thing I want us to look at is taking action. This is definitely non-negotiable. You can do every other thing. If you don't take action, you don't even know what you are losing. See, if I want to achieve a goal and I don't take action, I already know what the result is. It is failure. Because anyone who fails to act has acted to fail. That's the result of that action. It's failure. And I pray that none of us fails in Jesus' name. So we need to take action. What is that action that we have been procrastinating? What is that action you've been planning to take forever? Take action this month. God is with you. The first thing we need to decide is that we must understand that we need to take action for us to get any result. If I don't take action, there is no result. If I don't take action, there is no success. Not to talk about good success. So we must take action. You must take action. That's the first thing. And we're going to look at a set of scriptures. But we're going to jump to the next point for today, which is don't despise your gifts. Remember when we took this topic sometimes ago, talking about our gifts. Don't despise the gifts that God has given you. And I know we are all tempted, especially if you are a very gifted person. Whatever you find easy to do, it doesn't hold value to us anymore because it is easy. And because it's easy, we naturally assume that it's not valuable. But we should never be at that point. I've seen people excel with all manner of things I will never value because they are so easy to me. They are easy when I engage those things. So I naturally tend to feel like they are not valuable because it's not valuable to me, so to say. But guess what? It is gold to someone else. Let me tell you a story. Sometimes ago, I think a few weeks ago, we went, you know, just to go and visit certain places around this place. And I saw most people here, they were so excited with that place. And I was like, there's nothing. To me, there wasn't anything special there. But I could see the excitement on the faces of all those people who came to that place. They were like, they were seeing mountains. We paid so much money just to climb the top of that mountain. And when I got there, I was like, so? Nothing special there. There is nothing here to see. I mean, I've gone to mountains before. Like, if you go to Olumorok, you go to all those special places that you visit in Nigeria, you will see things. I mean, at the back of my house in Ekiti, there are rocks there. And yet I pay so much money to go to this rock. And I couldn't even see anything. And for all these other people, they were so excited. And do you know why they were excited? That's the point of the story. Do you know why they were excited? Because they've probably never seen anything like it before. They've all seen rocks. They've all maybe seen rocks in movies, in being told them about the height of rocks, read it in books, but probably that's the first time they're ever going to see a big rock. And this is what I've seen all my life, so it didn't hold any value to me, but to those people it was a lot of value. So why am I saying this? Your gift is also like that. The thing you do so easily, for example, somebody who sings, you probably sing in the bathroom, sing when you're in the toilet, sing when you're walking on the way, you have a very good voice and people tell you, wow, your voice is so beautiful. And you're like, thank God, thank God. It's nothing to you. But don't be caught in that trap of thinking your gift is not of value because it is easy. No. Easy doesn't mean not valuable. The things you do every day that are easy to you, value them. So many people have dropped their gifts thinking they are not valuable and chasing after jobs, after other things, leaving the things that God actually created for them to bring them to limelight in the world. So please, for you to forge ahead this month, don't look down on your gifts. In that place of your work, what is that gift that makes you stand out? Use it more. Nobody will be able to compete with you because that is the gift that God has given you. And of course, if you listen to other episodes, you know you have to refine this gift. If it is not refined, it will hold little value. It will not be of no value, it will just hold little value. You need to refine your diamond. You need to purify it so that it can hold the value God wants it to hold. And then, the second part of that is, don't be tired of doing the same thing over and over again. See, because you are tired of it, of hearing your voice, of using those gifts doesn't mean other people are tired. In fact, the moment you think they are tired, maybe that's the time they're actually getting used to it. I was listening to a video recently about a businessman who has built several businesses. And he said he learned a principle when he was very young. He said he was making some money, little money. And he saw an event in a newspaper advertised. And they said it was about financial management. And he went to that event, what we would call a webinar now. He went to that event and he said this guy talked so well and he said he was impressed. And he later realized that this guy has been doing this same webinar, using the same tactic, probably saying the same jokes, using the same frameworks or PowerPoint presentation for years upon years. And this guy probably retired with several millions in that business, but he was repeating the same thing every week, year upon year, week upon week, month upon month, every single time. Do you know why he was doing that? And what the guy learned? He said he learned that because you are tired of it, doesn't mean other people are tired of it. So don't make that mistake. It's a mistake that talented people make because you do it every day. You think, you're tired of it, but other people are not tired. Many people have not known it. How many people know you in the world? If you are famous, maybe 1 million people, 2 million people, 100 million people, but do you know the population of the whole world? You just need to make sure different people see this thing every day. In fact, the same people can see it over and over again and not get tired. Because the moment they get tired, that's the moment they are just getting to know what you are saying. Most things we say, people don't know anything. Maybe they remember 1% of what we say. So don't even get tired. Repeat it the second time. Repeat it the third time. And as you repeat it, you are becoming a master over and over again. So don't be tired of doing the same thing over and over again. It's a trap. It's a trap of mediocrity. Doing the same thing over and over again is what actually brings about expertise and makes you so good at what you do. Go and check all the people. You see, this guy that plays basketball, the girls that play table tennis, they just do it over and over again. There's probably the same moves and they keep winning all the time. And they are so good at it, people keep watching them over and over again and they keep making their millions. So please, we must understand that you should never despise your gifts, and because you have seen it over and over again doesn't reduce its value. Now let's look at that again. I'm still gonna say a little about that. How many of us have clothes that we have put on over and over again? You know, maybe it's until it's very old or it has faded, or now you know, okay, it's okay, I need to change this clothes now. That's when you change it. But because you bought a shoe and you put it on once, doesn't mean you can't use it again. Except maybe you are a celebrity and you don't want to repeat clothes. But you use it over and over again. And how many times has anyone stopped you to say, why are you still wearing this shoe? Except it's bad. But if it's still good, you can still wear it. It's clothes. That's the same with your gift and my gift. So we can do it over and over again until you see great results in your life. You can never be tired. So that's number two. We are still in number two. That's 2A and B. Number two is don't despise your gifts. Number one is take action. Number two is don't despise your gifts. And 2A is grace is what makes it easy for you. But don't think easy means less value. There is a lot of value. But because it's easy, don't ever think that means no value. Grace is what makes it easy for you. Then 2B says, don't get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. If you want to fight higher than life, don't be tired of doing the same thing over and over again. Don't be tired of using your gifts over and over again. Don't be tired of hearing your voice over and over again. Don't be tired of repeating the same design. This, I'm very guilty of this. Every time in my business, I want to always try something new. But the truth is, how many people have even seen the one I've done before, which is excellent? We need to just repeat these things over and over again. I've seen people repeat things over and over again, making several amounts of money. So please, don't be tired. That's one of the things I'm going to do. I want to repeat the things I've done before over and over again. Because so many people have not even seen it. I'm the only one tired of it. So let's maximize that in our business, in our career. Don't be tired of doing it over and over again. And then number three, forget the past. Both bad and good. The enemy of greatness is good. The enemy of excellence is good. So don't say, you have done something in the past, so you now create an idol out of that thing. You've achieved something in the past. No. whatever you have achieved in the past, the only reason you can remember it is for you to remember the faithfulness of God and to build your confidence that God who did it before can also do it again. That's the only reason. Apart from that, no other point. Forget all your trophies. Only remember them when you want to remember the faithfulness of God or when you need it to boost your confidence. For example, David, when he was about to kill Goliath, he mentioned the things he has accomplished before. He talked about the deer, the lion, and when he saw Goliath, he began to say, I've done this. God is able to rescue me. He told the king, see, I've killed the bear, I've killed the lion. This is just like them. That was the only reason he mentioned it. He wasn't creating a plague or a picture of it, keeping it in his house and looking at it every morning and not doing anything else. No. So forget the past. Even the good ones, forget it. Only remember it for the faithfulness of God. Forget your mistakes of the past. Forget them. And if you are going to remember them to avoid mistakes in the future. But apart from that, you have no business ruminating and dwelling too long on the things you have done in the past or the things that have happened in the past. The past is past. That's why it's called the past. And I've given this analogy before that God gave me. If you are driving a car, the rear mirror is not what you need to drive forward. You only need it to make good decisions. For example, if you want to overtake another car, you can check the rear mirror to see if a car is coming from behind. Or if you want to make some decision, you want to turn to the left, you want to check the rear mirror, the sides, to be sure that it's safe for you to actually go ahead. So, just like that in life, we all need to make sure that the rear mirror is only kept there to be used once in a while, not used forever. Don't keep looking at the rear mirror when you're going forward. You need it to realign yourself, to make good decisions. You need it as your hindsight to be able to see what happened in the past and use it as wisdom for the future. But you can't dwell there. I can't dwell there. I don't need to dwell there. So forget the past, both good and the bad. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. He said, will it not spring forth? I will do a new thing. So God is saying he will do a new thing. So we should not dwell on the past. And Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to have accomplished the things I want to accomplish in life. He said, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that have happened in the past, and I'm driving towards the future. Paraphrase now. So we all need to forge ahead, drive towards the future. Keep driving, keep moving towards the future. And not dwell on the past. Whatever we have accomplished in the past, let it stay at the past. Remember it for God's faithfulness. And I pray God empowers us to do this in Jesus' name. And then the next point, the first one, remember, take action. The second one is don't despise your gifts. Don't despise your gifts. The third one is forget the past, both good and the bad. You only need them as leverage for the future. You know that thing you step on to propel you upward? Is it long jump? That's what you should use the past for. And then number four, don't be complacent. Don't be too relaxed. Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not too complacent. I'm not dwelling so much on the past. Man, I killed Goliath, so that's all. No. After David killed Goliath, do you know how many other things he had to do? So whatever you have accomplished in the past, don't relax. You have made millions. Fine. What about billions? What about several millions? You have gotten married. Fine. What about having children? You have children. Fine. What about taking care of them? So there are so many things to do in life. There are so many things to accomplish. You have a good job. What about a better job? You have a good business. What about a better business? Or build many businesses? Or increase that one? So we cannot be complacent about the things we have accomplished in the past, relaxing and saying we have arrived. No. And guess what? There's no retirement in the Bible. It's only an idea of the world for them to make sure other people can get jobs. But guess what? In God's kingdom, there's no retirement. There's accomplishment upon accomplishment that we must always make sure we have. And I pray God strengthens us in Jesus. And then number five today, there's a story in the Bible when the Israelites and Moses, when the Egyptians were chasing them and they were at the Red Sea, and they were crying, complaining, saying all manner of things, which is the first lesson. When things don't go the way you think they should go, don't ever complain. Don't ever use negative words. Don't ever say the things you are saying. Say the things that God has said. And if you check that in Exodus 14, 10 to 16, the Israelites were complaining and complaining and complaining and saying all manner of things. And why did you bring us here to come and kill us? You have left us in Egypt. And then he says, is this not what we told you? Leave us alone in Egypt. Blah, 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 blah. Just like most of us complain when things don't go our way. The devil wants to blind us to see the things that God is doing. But we must always reject that. We must never ever allow the enemy to blind our eyes because of the things that are happening that we don't want to happen. Don't think the past is better. If God has taken you out of the wilderness, forget about it. Those are the things you should forget. And he said, it's not better to die in the wilderness, blah, 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 blah. He's saying, hey, guess what Moses said? They said all these things. Moses changed the narrative. He said, don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which we accomplished for you today. And that's the word of God for someone here today, for you and I. He said, don't be afraid. Things may not have happened in January, in February, up till August, but in September, don't be afraid. But stand still. Don't be double-minded. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, because He will come and save you. He will come and save you. God is coming to save you and I. He's coming to our rescue. He said He will accomplish that for you today. And guess what? In fact, let me go ahead. It says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them no more. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. At this point, it's not obvious that God has spoken to Moses already, because it was in verse 15, he said, the Lord said to him, why do you cry to me? So I think after this thing, he also turned to God and said, God, what do I do? And God said, why do you cry to me? This is what you should do. Which will bring us to the next point. Before we get there, remember how Moses began to declare, began to say things, began to declare the things of God. He remembered all the things that God has done. And he used that as a propelling force to understand that God is still going to do awesome things in the future. So for you and I today, no matter what you are going through, close your eyes to those things and begin to focus on the faithfulness of God and begin to declare. In fact, forget your mind this time around. Forget your mind. What you should remember is the word of God. Use your mouth to control the situation. You know, the Bible tells us that the tongue is a steering that drives the car of our lives. So we must use that steering to drive it to wherever we want. If you are driving a car, it doesn't matter how you feel. Do we know that? It doesn't matter how you feel. All you need to do is put your leg on the gas, like they call it here, on the accelerator. Put your leg there, hold the steering, put it in the right gear if you're using a manual car, and drive. The car will move. It doesn't matter how you feel. Let your mouth be the steering that drives your life. Speak the words of God to direct it in the path you want to go, in the direction that God has ordained it to go. So use the accelerator to move the car forward. Use the steering to control it. If you can confess right, God will confirm it. He said, the words you have spoken, I will also confirm it. As you have spoken in my ears, I will confirm it. So if things are going this way and you want to go this way, use your mouth to control it this way. As long as you are speaking the right words that align with the word of God, it will surely come to pass. See what God said. He said, go forward. See the salvation of the Lord. Did God not bring His salvation? So for you and I, we need to focus and speak those words when things go hard. That's where we need our mouth. That's what God made it for, to control it to where we should go. And Moses, God told Moses, go forward. Don't be like the Israelites that were complaining. You just speak the right words and begin to take action. Do every other thing I've mentioned today. And then number B, is remember when David was attacking Goliath? He began to tell him, as that guy was proclaiming through his God, David also used the only living God. And he said, God will give you into my hands today. This is what I will do. And guess what? Everything David said, those were the things that happened. So imagine how much we are losing by not speaking right. Just speak the words of God and we will all see what God has said coming to pass. And then sixth one, we have 7 points. Sixth one is keep moving, don't give up. Keep moving. God said to Moses, keep moving. You have dwelt on this mountain too long. Move northwards. Keep moving no matter what. If you're going to crawl, make sure you are crawling. And then graduate it to walking. And then graduate that to running. And then graduate that to flying. But by all means, make sure you don't stay stagnant. Make sure you don't stay stagnant in any way. And I pray that God strengthens us all in Jesus' name. Hebrews 12, 1-2. It says, since we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Remember, you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, don't let anything weigh you down. Sin, wrong words. Those are also sin, to speak the wrong words. Because God has commanded us to speak life, to choose life. So, speak the right words. He said, lay aside every weight. There are weights, there are sins. Every weight and sin that ensnares us. He said, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as our perfect example, the author and finisher of our faith. So he's saying, don't give up. Keep running. Forget what's happening. Look at what God has said will happen. Keep confessing that, keep declaring that, and keep running towards that. The only way to get to the end is to keep walking towards it. Crawling, walking, running, by all means, make sure you keep moving. And finally, follow God's technique for the moment. Many people are snared. Many people are trapped because they are using the past technique of God for the new moment. We must all understand that the technique that God uses at all times can be anything. The best way is to just depend on it. I was listening to a testimony before I started this, and the guy was planning his life, was looking at all the normal things his brain would tell him. It's nothing wrong. The only thing is, we have to submit these things to God. When it comes to our lifting, God is the one who designs it, and we must follow Him. Follow God's technique. In one place, they were stagnated, and God told Moses, raise your rod, point it, right? And the river parted. In another place, He just said, you have dwelt on this mountain too long. Go northward. He just told them to move. He didn't tell him to use his rod. He didn't tell him to do any other thing. Just keep moving. So, we must all understand that God has techniques for leading us, depending on the circumstances that we are faced. So we must depend on Him, follow Him, follow His instructions, and you will be shocked at how God will rescue us, will save us, if we choose to follow Him. So it's up to you and I today to decide to follow God's leading. But by all means, make sure you are forging ahead. Let me just do a recap, even as we close today. What are the steps for forging ahead? And like I said before, make sure you keep moving. The best of God is not to crawl, but if that's what you can do for a start, please do that. But God has promised you that those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow tired. So remember that God has given us the power to run, to fly. He said, who are these who fly like doves to their roots? So whether it's flying, it's walking, it's crawling, God has given us all. It's for you and I to choose the speed we want. And I pray that this month of delivery, September, we will all have divine speed in the name of Jesus. I pray that as we take action, which is the first thing we learned today, as we refuse to despise our gifts because we are used to it, as we do not get tired of doing the things that work, as we forget the past and keep moving forward, as we are not complacent, and as we confess and declare and speak our victory by faith and not complain, and as we keep moving and not giving up, as we follow God's instruction for the moment, I declare that we will surely see God's progress. We surely see divine speed, and we surely experience good success. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you so much for joining. That's the end of the episode today. Remember, this is on YouTube right now. You can just go there to watch immediately. You can just listen to it to stir yourself up again. And God bless you. See you next week. In Jesus' name. Stay ever blessed. The good success.com.